Yo, 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 what's going on? It's your boy, Kim. Are you interested in becoming a sponsor for the Flying Intellectual Podcast? Would you like us to advertise your business on this platform? If interested, email us at info@flyyoungintellectual.com. That's info@flyyoungintellectual.com. We're waiting to hear from you. Peace. What's going on, people? It's your boy, Kim, and welcome back to another episode of the Flying Intellectual Podcast. And I'm super excited because today's guest is one of my bucket list guests, actually. I was telling her, like, I've been wanted to interview her since I kind of got hip to her from her adulting series, and we'll get into that and how that show came about. But she's a producer. She's a director. Screenwriter, not if you would be, yep. I don't want to, I like to make sure I give everybody every single thing that they deserve. So she's a head honcho right now, working her way up, in the TV world. She's with Love and Hip Hop. She has done, I think she said she did Jerry Springer, random. This is like, we have to get into this, Steve Wilkos and them boys, like, what? That's prime time daytime TV. So, but if you don't know who we're talking about, and if you can't see her at this point by now, her name is Kara J. Let's give her a round of applause for being here.
Woo!
I'm gonna make sure I do my sound effects up tonight. Welcome, welcome, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for that warm introduction.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We work hard. I believe I'm not them people who are like, if you're Dr. such and such, we must call you Kara just because I know you. Like, nah, Dr. Kara. You know, it's you work for it.
You know, I might add that to the list.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. How are you doing? You were kinda out of the pandemic but still in it. And there's a lot going on, wars and
wars
and rumors of wars and pandemics, and like, how are you navigating this? How is this affecting you know, TV world and the production world?
I mean, it's a lot. You know, I think that when 2020 happened, I was very grateful, to be honest, like, because I was working really hard in 2019 and like 2018 before that, like just trying to like break into the industry. And so by 2020, I was burnt out. And the, you know, the collective push to just stay inside and relax was like, whoo, like I needed that. Yeah. Like, I know it was like fucked up because
It was like in the midst of chaos. Yeah, but at the same time, it was like a necessary reset that we all needed.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, I was going too hard. I needed a second. And it really gave me a chance to like reevaluate just some things in my life, both personally, professionally, like mentally, spiritually, emotionally, all of the leaves. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just out here figuring it out. And then as it related to like production, you know, that's one thing about this industry is that pandemic or no pandemic is constantly evolving.
Yeah.
Like, it is literally an ever evolving landscape. So it was just one of those things where I was like, ooh, I got to learn how to adjust, which isn't that hard for me as a Libra. Like, you know, air sign energy, we just
Hails,
very balanced. Fluid.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, very balanced.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. But I had to figure out, you know, some new tricks and new tips to like keep myself afloat. One of which has just been to tending to my own garden, like making sure my own world, like that I first and foremost am okay before I pour into other people.
Aspect, yeah, putting you first.
I really had to learn that. So that's what I've been doing. I've been doing me and putting me first in like every aspect of my life.
No, that's awesome. I mean, it takes so long to find that balance, but I feel like the younger and younger we get these days, the generation is just understanding it off rip. Like, nah, if I have a headache and I don't feel it well today, I might try and call out because, you know, what's the point of pushing myself if I'm not going to be my best self? And, you know, I can't give that at the workplace. So understanding that is definitely crucial. And yeah, trying to find that balanced way. You know, obviously we're always like encouraged to you know, do it without the sleep and go overtime and all the, you know, all these isms and go hard and no sleep, no sleep. And then, you know, you find yourself like needing some sleep one way or the other.
Yeah. And not just, you actually need sleep. Yeah. It's imperative.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's that grind mentality. And I was like living in New York too. So it was just kind of like
the city that never sleeps.
Boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like just really going for it. And then, you know, the pandemic happened and it was like, girl, you need to chill out. Mm-hmm. Like, please just relax. And so that's what I've been doing. The to-do lists get shorter. I've been tending to like other parts of my life that are not work related,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's been really beneficial for me.
Awesome. Super awesome. So let's go down the chronological order of things. So you're from St. Croix, mm-hmm. But you moved away from like an early age. Like talk about just like the upbringing, the, you know, the kind of you leaving, seeing the whole other side of the world and, you know, your influence of your mom and all of that.
Yeah. So I was born on St. Croix. And then when I was younger, my mom and my dad, they moved away to Connecticut when I was like one. And then I was 4, we moved to Maryland. And then when I was 10, me, my mom, and my sister moved back to St. Croix. And then I was living in St. Croix from when I was 10 through high school. I went to Complex and graduated from there. And yeah, while I was in Complex, I thought I wanted to study psychology. I was taking AP Psych and I was like, you know, I could listen to people's problems and consult people and like be there for people. I mean, I do it all the time for my friends.
Right, right.
I told my mom.
Free, right?
Like, yeah. Right. I'm like, oh, I can get paid for this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why
good.
Not? Yeah, or so I thought.
Right, right.
I told my mom and she was like, yo, you do not like to listen. You need to go do something else. And I was like, girl, what do you mean?
You're
like,
I've
been listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, she read me like a fucking book. I was like, okay, cool. She was like, why don't you do journalism or something? Like, you like to write. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know, like, that was a career I could do.
Right.
Like, it just never, yeah, like, it just wasn't in front of me. I didn't, like, grow up, like, taking, you know, videos and things like that. Like, I grew up with a bunch of different hobbies. Like, I did theater. I, you know, I just did, like, random stuff.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that I could pursue a creative career for work.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't really have any examples of that in front of me. And so when she said it, I was like, oh, okay, like, you know, you might be onto something, girl.
That,
so I didn't
want to cut you off, but that's a gem you just dropped there. Like, because you saw a lack of representation and you didn't have like an active thing in front of you that said like, oh, to be creative is like a legitimate also a job or career option. You couldn't see it, so you couldn't imagine it and dream it for yourself. That's
exactly, because I had never really been on like set, and like, you know, in the Virgin Islands, it's not like people are just shooting movies everywhere, things like that. Like, I think the most at the time production really was, from what I could see, was the news.
That's smart.
If I like go out,
like
even now when I go out with my camera, like people will be like, use the news, and I'm like, no, I'm shooting a documentary, or like, no, I'm just filming, you know. So the perception is like news only and not necessarily like
production,
art.
Yeah.
Even though there has been outlets like that before, I just feel like I was not personally like privy to it. So that led to me going to the University of New Haven, and I was studying communications. I was pursuing a Bachelor of Arts in Digital Media. And then I had like this production fundamentals class where we were like playing with cameras and all the equipment. We were in the studio and stuff. And I was like, ooh, I kind of like learning a skill. So I took on a Bachelor of Science in TV and Video Production. And I got my degrees in both of them. And then along the way, you know, I was like producing content on campus. I created like 2 shows on campus, the news, the first ever news program that's still running today.
Nice.
Going strong.
Sick.
Love that.
Yeah.
And then another political science talk show that had like got nominated for a student Emmy. So I was like, oh, you know, like I'm in this.
Let's go.
And And so that led to me getting my internship with Jerry Springer's Deep Vocals, like you said, at NBC Universal.
That's crazy.
That was like one of my first internships. It was
what was that like? Of course, from the outside looking in, we see all this chaos, and we know that the chaos has to be produced, right? So, like, like from you just watching it on TV, and then you actually being behind the scenes, and like seeing what level of production is necessary to generate that kind of chaos. How like mind blown were you, or maybe did you go in and it was exactly what you thought? Like, how was that process?
I think it was like, I don't know. I have a high tolerance for chaos. I don't know. So it was pretty chill for me. And then honestly, quite frankly, my role, I was a digital production intern. So I basically had to show up on the set and like take pictures of what was going on, like take pictures of Jerry or like take videos and then like create digital content, like social media content. Yeah. So in as far as the production went, I was able to shadow and like see stuff, but my role was more digital and I was in like my own world.
Just trying to do everything right. Like,
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was just cool. I was just happy to be there. Honestly, I was just like, oh my gosh, I finally have an internship. I didn't get that internship until my senior year of college. So mind you, like this whole time I'm thinking like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? I'm behind. I haven't gotten any internships, no nothing. Like I made these shows on campus, but it's not getting me no jobs. Like what's going on? So I'm like thinking all this work is in vain. And then I remember the day that I got it too. I was telling, because I was also an RA on campus. I was telling my boss of the RAs, I was like, yeah, girl, if I don't get an internship, I'm gonna just have to get another job, like, and just see what happens. Like go work back, because I was working at Urban Outfitters before that. So it's like, I might have to go back to Urban Outfitters or something. Like I had like quit working retail so that I could focus on like getting an internship, getting a job, focused on my grades and all that. And like, then it wasn't happening. So when it did happen, I was like, literally, I said that. I walked out the library and I got a phone call from NBC Universal like, hey, Kayra, your resume's on our desk for, you know, Springer, Wilkos, or Maury. And so, you know, come on in and we'll see what happens. And that's what happened. And then after that, I had an internship with Lionsgate in France during the Cannes Film Festival. That was such a another one of those like moments, like it just happened. Like I didn't even know that this would have happened.
First of all, these are some major names. Let me make sure that I put my round of applause in there. These are some dropping your names just on the way, by the way. By the way, Lionsgate.
You know,
but no, I'm enjoying the journey.
Yes, it was, you know, I love reliving it because at the time, like when I tell you, I was like crying in bed, like, oh my God, like, I'm gonna get a job. Like, I'm gonna have to go back home and I'm a failure.
Like,
you understand? Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, not that moving back home makes you a failure, but
nah,
like,
no, but that was like the perception. That was the perception that they sold
you. Yeah, like, exactly.
Don't, I remember when I moved away, people were like, don't end back up here or something like that kind of like what, like don't come back home.
literally that like stay up there and make something of yourself. I'm just like, I'm trying. Oh, they won't hire me. Oh my God. I just felt very like defeated. I'm like, I just spent like these 4 years like, you know, with a 3.5 GPA straight through, like like staying on the straight and narrow, tired me.
And then here I am.
I had so many rejection emails, like from, because I applied everywhere. Like it wasn't even a lack of like me trying. Like I had rejection emails from almost every media company that probably existed. So I was just like, what am I doing wrong? So Lionsgate happened, like literally just, it just fell into my lap. And it was such a blessed experience. I got to go out there for 2.5 weeks and support executives in the international sales and distribution arm for the company. And, you know, like really experience a film festival before COVID, that of that magnitude. That's like so big.
BC. Like, I don't remember what BC is.
Right. BC. Literally BC. Like,
oh, no masks. Like we're all just,
just vibes. Exactly. Everybody's like turned. We like crowded in the club. Like it wasn't no problem. So yeah, I was out here doing that. And then I had an internship lined up with this company called Gizmodo Media Group, which is now called Go Media, for the summer. And I was their video intern working on mostly their site called Jezebel. And then they have another site called The Root. And then a bunch of other sites like Jalopnik, Splinter, Deadspin, all these other like platforms. So I would like help them out with different videos and whatnot. But I primarily worked for Jezebel and The Root, where I was like interviewing celebrities and making videos of it. And yeah, I mean, that was cool. I learned a lot about production in that role. Like you literally are doing everything yourself. I'm the videographer, I'm booking people, I'm editing it, I'm making graphics. Like I was like, you know, I'm feeling a little exploited, but I'm learning a lot. That was my introduction to like the industry, because they hired me full time. I was freelancing there as an associate producer following the internship. So I had moved to New York, got my first apartment. I was living with three other women in Washington Heights, you know, just working. Like I would be working there, and then after work I would do a bunch of like random freelance gigs. Like if someone needed a PA or if someone just needed a videographer or photographer for stuff, I would like, I was getting to the money. And I just had like that hustle mentality of like, don't stop, like literally just like going hard while also like maintaining a social life, trying to date people. Like I was on 10. But then, so I didn't want to be interviewing celebrities. I wanted to make content. Like I wanted to make television. That's what I sought out to do. I was like, I'm interviewing people, but I want to be working on the thing that I'm interviewing them about. So how do I get there? So I was networking with a bunch of people, trying to get my foot in the door in terms of like production, and TV production. And it just wasn't working out. You know, like you have to have like a connect for the most part. Like people have to know who you are, know what you could do, like have credits of some sort. I'm like, I'm gonna get the credits if y'all don't let me on the set. So
Or when people that is, people try and hire you for something, they say you should have like 6 years experience, and it's like, so I can't develop the experience.
I just graduated a month ago. I'm like, how was that supposed to happen? But you know, didn't let that discourage me. I eventually at some point acted on one of my own ideas. So I had met one of my co-creators in France. A mutual friend had connected us, and we both had internships in France. She was interning with Annapurna, which is like a film production company, and then I was with Lionsgate. So we met up in France, and then she lived in New York. So we met back up in New York and reconnected, and she hit me and we were talking, and she was like, what are you working on? And at the time I wasn't working on any like passion projects, because I have never really actually done one. I feel like up until this moment I had my blog that I was working on, or I would do like mini projects, but nothing like of this magnitude. Because in college I had college, I'd work, I had internships, I was an RA. I was like, I don't have time for this. And so I was really excited to have something that was like my own, and I had all these ideas of things that I wanted to do. But I didn't want to seem like I wasn't working. So I told her, I was like, oh, you know, I got this idea, like working on this idea for a show called Adulting, da da da. Like whole time it was literally just like bullet points in my journal. You know, I was like, but now it's like, I got to get to work. People are asking me what I'm working on. So she was really into the pitch when I told her about it. And she was like, I'd love to work with you on it, and this, that, and the third. So I was like, okay. You know, now I have to actually do some work. Like I have to stop going out at happy hour and I have to sit down and do some work. So I did. I wrote the scripts, and you know, me and her were working on it, securing locations, like figuring everything out.
And this is still in New York, right?
And then this is still in New York. And then I met my third co-creator, Malik. We met when I was working at Jezebel. I was interviewing Lynn Whitfield, and Malik was assisting her. And so we just both kind of like saw something in each other. And then she left her card on the table, and I was like, oh, I wanted to be her friend. I'm happy she left the card. So follow her on Instagram, and then invited her to a lunch. we're like talking. I'm like, yeah, I'm working on this web series with my friend Paulette. Like, we're doing this thing. And she was like, oh, I had an idea for a web series. It's like, well, what's your web series? Like, Adulting. What's your web series? Adulting While Black. And I was like, okay, so now we have to work together.
Yeah, that aligned nicely.
So we did. Yeah. Yeah, it did. So we came together, the three of us, and, you know, put this show together. We started with the pilot, which, if anybody ever watches the series, Me Versus the Whites was the first episode ever shot. So that was shot, like, in my apartment. I was the actor. Like, you know, my friend Nick, who was the DP, he was in town before going back to Chicago. So everything was just sort of, like, perfect, and we were able to, like, get a lot of kinks out. Adultin is a scripted and unscripted show. So there's a scripted portion that's like a film, and then there's the unscripted where we interview like real adults about that. So for the unscripted, a lot of my friends from college came down to New York, and they stepped in for me, and I was like, I love you guys. We ultimately crowdfunded $12,000 for the show, and we were able to produce 6 episodes. And you know, we threw a bunch of parties, we had like all sorts of things going on. Like, it was great. And it was a moment. It definitely shaped, my career, I feel like, because it made me confident in my capabilities of, you know, whether or not I work in this industry, like, I know, I want to make TV.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't need anyone to validate that for me. Yeah. Like, we did it.
Yeah.
Like, we all just brought our own resources together. Like, you got a camera, I got a camera. Like, you know, then the people who worked on the show went off, like actors, everybody, they just like went off and became super successful too. Yeah. Like, they're in like Walmart commercials, they have shows of their own, they're doing their thing. So I'm like, this is great. Yeah. It was just a bunch of good vibes. It was very, much so a magical moment for, I think, all parties involved. Along the way, you know, in real life, like, our careers were also elevating. So I ended up getting hired as the development assistant at MTV and VH1, where I was supporting the VP of development as well as an executive producer and showrunner. Development, for anybody that doesn't know, is basically the think tank of any network or production company, where you come up with ideas for that, like, you come up with ideas for shows, the film, whatever network production company you're working for. Development is where you create the ideas. And I was like, what a perfect place for me.
So
I was assisting them and working on shows, like unscripted shows, with MTV and VH1 mostly. And, you know, life, I got inducted into the corporate America world, which is, you know, very different from when I was like freelancing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, life got hard, like, you know, just got like a little bit more serious, like a little bit more, like, I don't have as much time for my passions, which is where the burnout was coming in, because I was really trying to do it all. Like, I'm at work from like 10 to 7 and then going to meetings at 7:30 with Paulette and Malik, and then leaving home and like editing videos at like 10 o'clock at night. So I was definitely like just working myself a lot at that time. And then, like I said, 2020 happened and sort of shut things down. So I was able to work from home. My job transitioned to like remote work. I ended up getting promoted to associate producer, which is where the Love and Hip Hop of it all came up. So when I became AP, I started working across the Love and Hip Hop franchise, as well as a few other VH1 shows under one of my bosses. And, you know, my team and I, my co-creators, we ended up splitting up and like doing our own thing and going in our own direction. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, we were like a jumping off point, I feel like, of our careers, to be able to have that and then step off into our own directions and grow into our own way.
And that's love in itself, because, I mean, you know, to be selfish about that is not going to behoove anyone either. So it's like, if we all have these gifts, and we made these moments, right? The Adultin series, you know, we made a full body of work, whether it's a season, half a season, it doesn't matter. You know, we should be able to allow each other to like blossom and just know, like, who knows, maybe later in life it'll come back together. Or maybe that was it for like, you know, that group of people, but that doesn't mean the main mission comes to an end, right?
Exactly. The future is fluid. So right now I've just been in an independent space. I got my own LLC and, you know, I've been trying to work on that, like trying to be Big Boss K, trying to like make sure my everything is in order, like trademarking and, you know, copywriting and like having, you know, what do I want to do next? Which for me has been, just, you know, getting back on like I said, like resetting, you know, because COVID shook some stuff up. So it was like, what do I actually want to do? Like, do I actually want to make TV? Like, what am I doing? Like, I do this every day now. So it was kind of like getting, you know, like, am I built for this?
Because that's the thing, like when you do the business side and you like fully get into something that you're passionate about, sometimes it rips that joy away. And sometimes it shows you like, whether I'm supposed to like really do this full time or whatever. It's a buzz, right, man, for sure.
The business definitely takes the fun out of stuff, I will say. But you got to do it. Like, I think I have such an appreciation for the business now. Like, right now, I really don't try to do business without contracts in place, deals, like, just, you know, written communication. Like, if we're communicating, hit me on the email. You feel me? Because it's just like, there are boundaries that have to be set between art and business. And I think that when you're starting out,
the sooner you do it,
the better.
Because the longer you wait, it gets muddled. And then, like, to really put what you need into, like, the contract and stuff on the back end, it's almost.
It's messy. It's messy. And like, I think that being in corporate America definitely, you know, instilled that in me in a subconscious way. Like, I didn't even really think about it, but I'm like, oh, this is how I'm moving because this is how I move at work. And like, that is the industry. This is the industry.
You got like, once you get programming. Like, so it's like, if you see the structure, you in this system, you're going to adapt certain aspects of it, you know, good or bad.
Yeah. And it was just like, this is the standard. And so I want to live up to this standard all the time. Yeah. And like prior to that, like, you know, when you're doing art, you're an artist, you be vibing. You're like, let's just go shoot. Let's just go do this. And then it's really, so I've been reading this book from Questlove for like ever now, but it's called The Creative Quest. Yeah, and he has this chapter.
I just started it.
You saw it?
I just started it. Yeah. Yeah. Like literally 2 days.
Well, ago. Not to like. Spoiler.
Yeah, but good.
He has this chapter. Mm-hmm. He has a chapter that speaks on the intersection of art and commerce. And that chapter really spoke to me because I was like, damn, like that's real important. Like once money is involved, like, you know, like having to pay people, like getting paid for the things that you do, getting paid for your art, like all that other stuff, like you want to make sure that like you're good.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like it's not just art at that point. Now it's business.
No.
So you, like you said, you have to do that from jump on anything. And so I'm just like trying to keep that mindset for literally what it could be, you know, a photo shoot. It could be just like whatever.
Yeah.
Like it should be papered. It should be, you know, invoice me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I have to learn the hard way. Even like 2021 for me was a lot of that. I just had to, a lot of stuff that I knew I should have done with the business on the paper side of things, I like let, you know, fester and linger a little too long. I lost money because of it. And like now, like I had to, and I'm glad, of course, because it's good to see it. Maybe it's a little better to see it up front then like later on when like you think you're moving and grooving and then you have this F up. So I'm glad I figured it out, but at the same time, like, you know, protect yourself, protect your intellectual property at all times. And do the necessary.
The sooner the better. That's my advice for everybody. Like, don't ever be like, I'm too young to have a deal. Like, no, go on Rocket Lawyer. Like, just get a contract.
There's many things out here. Templates. There's like, you know,
even
look at the career templates of some other things and structure yours according, you know, there's ways.
Right? Yeah.
There's ways.
It's important. It's very important. And you have to be super diligent about that, especially if you want to scale and like get bigger. Like people be having big dreams. Oh, they want to make $1 million. But it's like, where's that $1 million being deposited to your personal bank account or like, you know what I'm saying? Like you have to have systems in place in order to receive the level of success that you actually want. And so
I understand the hierarchy of the legality of the world we live in too, like America. You know, how to figure out how to maximize the taxes and stuff like that. Like, that's the only way you're gonna succeed is if you understand that stuff, to be honest.
Yeah. If you're out here being super naive, like, I'm gonna just make 10 bands off of my art. It's like, okay, but like, you know, like you might run into some shit if you don't got your business structure set up, you don't got your bank account set up, you don't got an EIN number, like you're trying to do taxes and they're like, you gotta file as an S corp. Like, what's that? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you gotta really, in order to elevate and really scale and profit from art, the business got to be in place. And so that's where I'm at now. I'm happy that I was able to vibe out and work with incredible people who were able to work together. We didn't have to get into that part of it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it wasn't messy.
Yeah.
But it was like, as I look back and all that, I was like, oh, I want to be better protected before I do anything moving forward, just with anybody. Like, you know, my next client could be who I work for right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could just be that. Yeah. And it's like, I don't want to be in a position where I'm being taken advantage of or where I didn't know what to do, because I do know what to do. Like, you know, it's like you said, it's like, oh, I have these feelings of like, I should be doing this. And then you play yourself.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't play yourself. Yeah. Like, look out for yourself. It's not a bad thing to ask someone for a deal or a contract. It's not a bad thing to send an NDA to someone. Yeah. It's you're literally protecting your work.
Yeah.
And that's what matters. So absolutely, the art can only be fun if the business is set up.
Another gem. Another
gem. He's clapped.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Keep dropping gems. So let me reset the podcast. Once again, we have Miss Kara J on the Flying Intellectual Podcast. She's a director, producer, screenwriter. She occupies the visual content space. She now resides in Atlanta and works for Love and Hip Hop after working her way from St. Croix through the, what's that? That was, we're up in like Massachusetts and all of that. So that's the, like,
Connecticut.
Yeah, Connecticut. Okay. Connecticut. And then making her way through New York. So all of these things, these stops added to her perspective and her, you know, her visual eye, and now she's done it for full time. And obviously, being a Black woman in these spaces, and as young as you are, what are like some of the pushbacks or even some of the pros, I guess, that you would say that, like, you know, navigating these spaces and being, I guess, one of the few Black faces and Black women faces in those spaces?
That's such an interesting question, because honestly, for me, I've been super blessed. Like, my bosses in this industry, post like college, have all been Black women. Like, when I was working at Jezebel, my senior producer was a Black woman, and she was just, you know, always very like stern, like just got her point across. It wasn't no like her trying to dance in the space, like, you know,
she
was very clear. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she didn't give a shit. She was very clear, very direct. So I was always privy to that. And like, my boss now, I work with Black women leaders, and you know, I see them really put their foot down, like, don't take shit from nobody, like, communicate their ideas clearly. Like, even when they're delegating things to me, it's very much, I'm not about to treat you like you five. Yeah, like, you were grown, like, you know,
like you belong here. Man. So let me respect you by like talking to you like an adult, or talk to you like I'm in this space, because you are.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's really fascinating and like beautiful for me, because it's like, I don't feel like I have to dim my light. You know what I mean? Because it's like, even when I'm like communicating with people, if I'm in a leadership position, I don't feel like I have to be nicey. Like, you know, this is the point. Yeah, like, you know, like, this is what I gotta say. Yeah. Like,
greater picture of the production. Like, we don't have time to waste time on like dancing around this when there's a bigger picture.
It's just like, what's up with this? What's up? Like, you know, like, being very clear, being very direct. And like, I love working in a space where people have thick skin. Like, you know, like, like, you know, if I submit something, it's like it needs some work. It's like, these are the notes. Mm-hmm. Like, this mm-hmm. is what it takes to be better yeah. and like the best.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful to be, uplifted by Black women. I am constantly uplifting other Black women because we don't get uplifted enough, out here in these streets. And so I that's my experience. I've seen Black women be their full, complete boss lady selves in plenty of rooms. And it's taught me how to also do that and to be unapologetic about it. Like, I don't need to, you know, if I want to wear a wig tomorrow, I'm gonna wear that wig. Yeah. Like, you know, if I want to shave my hair off the next day, like, I'm gonna do that. Like, if I want to wear super long lashes, if I want my nails done, if I, whatever, yeah. whatever I want to do to express myself, like, yeah. I don't need to, yeah, like, I don't need to confine or conform into like a box. Yeah. I feel like I'm able to be my full self and y'all are going to take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. And that's just it.
Yeah. And you provide, you know, you're going to come to work, you're going to do the job at a higher level, but you're going to, yep. whatever it takes for you to express yourself in that, you know, you're going to do that by being secure within who you are. So that's
cool. Right. And then back to what we were saying earlier in terms of the self-care of it all. Now I'm learning how to be able to be more upfront about that with myself and then with others. Like, oof, today is a slow day for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to need a second, you know, and not trying to like push through it all the time. Yeah. Cause that's how I used to be. I used to just be pushing through.
That's how we're programmed.
And right? I was tired, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It is. And you don't want to come across like incapable or like you don't know what you're doing and like all this other stuff. And I just had to like release that, you know, and be like, I know what I'm capable of. Mm-hmm. I know what I know how to do. So if I need a second, it's because I actually need a second. Yeah. And like I have to honor that within myself. And other people are just going to have to respect that as well.
Yeah, the boundaries, man. You know, we have to teach people how mm-hmm. to treat us no matter.
We have to teach ourselves how to treat us. I think that a lot of people don't even know themselves enough. Like,
hold on.
Really have to sit with yourself.
We have to teach us how to treat us. You're right. Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead and explain.
A lot of people are not self-aware and like not even like paying attention to themselves. And like, that's what was happening to me. I really thought I was good. Like, I thought I was capable of doing like whatever, whenever. And like, physically I was, right? But it was affecting so many other things. Mm-hmm. And like, back to 2020, when I had that time to like really sit and reflect and like pay attention, I was like, oh my God, like I have no boundaries and it is affecting mm-hmm. me. Like I'm consistently pouring into other people, but what have I done for myself today?
And then when you don't set that boundary, then you only mad at yourself after, which is like the worst as well. Cause like you can't,
right.
can't display, well you could, but that's gaslighting. You know, people do
and
that.
Projecting.
But, like,
and people do
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
You start projecting that anger that you, like, you're mad at yourself mm-hmm. because you didn't say no, or like you, you know, did something that you weren't comfortable with doing mm-hmm. or whatever, you violated yourself. Mm-hmm. And then now you're mad at other people and other people are just going to what you set up. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like you set the tone and people are going to treat you like that. So it is so important to reflect and like spend time with yourself and be like, okay, this is what I have the capacity for today. Yep. This quarter, this month, like, you know, you can't do it all in one day. Like you could have I got mad ideas, like books full of goals, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And I had to sit with myself and be like, I'm not rushing to create any of this until my business is fully set up. Like I want contracts from my lawyer. I wanted it to be trademarked up. Like I need that shit approved. Signed, sealed, delivered. I could work on these ideas in silence mm-hmm. and underground, but I don't feel the need to like pop out with
other people that I have shit going on.
Yeah. All y'all need to know is that I'm good. Yeah. Like that's it. And like, that's really it. It's just like when the time is right and that's different for everybody, but you have to be good. It shouldn't even be no competition with nobody but yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, that overworking yourself, that like trying to prove something, all of that is so detrimental when in reality, You should be focused on like pouring into yourself, making sure that you, the person, are like good first and foremost in all of the ways, mm-hmm. mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then like your art will reflect that. And then your art that is for profit will reflect that too. Mm-hmm. You know, like the thing that you're putting your heart and soul in, you have to be able to put your heart into something for it to work out. And so if you don't got nothing to give, then it's not giving. So.
Yeah.
That's some stuff I've been learning and like dealing with, you know. I've been taking the pressure off of myself of like having to have a million things going on.
We're a little late this time, but well.
I can't, but you know, I'm into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and just focus. I just been focused on working. When I got promoted to associate producer, that was like my first time working on an actual show, mm-hmm. like development. You're like working on a bunch of different shows. Like you're working on different shows. Some shows never see the light of day.
That's what I'm about to say. Yeah.
So it's a very different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's different when you're actively on something. It's a different setup. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my first time like doing that. And this is something that I've been manifesting since college. I'm like, I want to work on a show, like, you know. And I had to make sure that I knew how to do my job. Like, you know, I was like, I don't need to be doing 10 million things at once. I need to focus on this. Yeah. Like, I don't want to mess this up. Like, I want to be good at my job. I want to be paying attention to what's going on around me so I can, you know, pick up on other skills and traits and like, oh, I thought I wanted to do this. Maybe I want to do that. Like,
provide value.
You know, like just being.
Find different ways to provide value.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I was just focused on that. And, you know, I love my team. I love working with other Black people. I love sharing Black stories. Everybody always got a lot to say about Love and Hip Hop, you know, and it's just kind of like, I love it. Like, I love that.
It's true. They do get a negative connotation. And, you know, I think it's a lot of it is from a misogynistic point of view, if we're being honest. But at the core of the brand, it's a storytelling brand that use obviously, you know, reality, there's some bloviating and like sensationalism that goes into some of it. But, you know, at the core of it, Love and Hip Hop is like storytelling, like, you know what I'm saying? And it's people's lives and everybody can relate to something that happens in Love and Hip Hop. So that's why it's still existing. How many seasons now?
Yeah, that's why it's a hit show.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just like how many seasons? They're like what?
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta is on season 10, and New York, I think, is on 11. Like, you know, New York was the first one, and and so that's 11 years, over 11 years of being on cable television. Well, like,
people hate on
Lady
Mona,
deal.
But Mona been doing her thing for a long time.
Yeah, it's a big deal, and, you know, just the people in front of the camera as well, like, it's, what other show do you get like this many stories in a way that like whether you can relate to their actual lives, the stories at their core is like the point. Yeah. And like everybody deserves space. Like everybody deserves a space to tell their story. Like what makes this story better than that story? Mm-hmm. You know, like what makes this person's story more important than that person's story?
Yeah.
So I appreciate the space to be able to learn and grow and work with other people of color. Mm-hmm. And like I said, Black women in charge and who pour into me, like who teach me things every single day about creativity as well as business, as well as just, you know, navigating these waters. So it's really only up from here.
Yeah, of course.
I cannot wait to see what's next. And from myself and my team, just both like in my personal work and my professional work, because it's really up and it's stuck.
Yeah. It's up and it's stuck. And I think what I'm really realizing, like even as I work my way more into those spaces of like production and such, is that there's like always something to learn. So it's one of those careers that like, you know, there's always a way you can like improve, and then every certain amount of years something new is going to come up. Somebody's going to try and do something new. Somebody's going to like try and shoot something in a different style or like whatever that is, and that's going to influence like a whole new generation. So whoever is like already submerged in that, they're going to just always be learning if they want to be relevant, at least, right? You know, over a long period of time. So,
like I said, the landscape is always changing. Mm-hmm. So you have to be paying attention, staying like ahead of the curve and like, you know, just like learning and evolving and like taking what you learned and passing it on to the next generation.
Yeah. Do you think that, like moving to Atlanta was like critical for where you are now in terms of obviously?
Oh my gosh.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just cause like, I did not know that I would ever move to Atlanta. Like that was like, if the pandemic didn't happen, I don't think that like that would have happened.
Oh, wow.
But I really wanted to live alone. Like I was like, I need like space to like, I'm a big personality. I'm like I have a lot of energy. Yeah. And I was like, I just need like my own space to really like get everything out. Like, you know? And Atlanta was one of those places where I could afford to do that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we shoot down here and all this other stuff. So it was just like, kind of like one of those transitions that I was almost fighting it. Like, I was like, why would I move there? Like, I'm a city girl. Like, yeah. What am I doing? Like, coming, I had never been to Atlanta, like as an adult. I only went to Atlanta like once when I was 10. Mm-hmm. So I came here like to apartment hunt, and that was like my only time here as an adult, and then I just moved and I'm like, oh my god, like I'm here.
Yeah.
But I have a great support system here, like my best friends live here, and just like I'm reconnecting with a lot more people from the Virgin Islands down here. Mm-hmm. Like people from high school, which is something I never really did as much in New York. So it just feels like, I went to a gym the other day, I was like, what, I haven't been to a gym in so long.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What?
That's crazy.
So I don't, yeah, I definitely, I'm appreciating this part of my life and the things that I'm able to like learn about myself. Mm-hmm. Here, because it's definitely, I didn't even know this was going to happen. You know, like if you had asked me 2 years ago, would I move to Atlanta? I'd be like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm staying in New York. I'm a Brooklyn babe. Yeah, like yeah. Next place I'm moving is LA.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
That's
so funny because the LA narrative has kind of like fizzled out in a lot of ways because Atlanta is kind of like the Hollywood of the South. So, you know.
Yeah. And I, you know, LA gets that reputation of being fake and like being, you know, like, you know, superficial. Mm-hmm. But I still love LA. Like I love being out in LA. Like I love the vibe. I do like that space. But I think life needed me to be a little bit more fulfilled before going to La La Land. Yeah. Like I had to like become more of myself. So like I said, I could be more confident in my skills and my abilities and like just who I am before I get swept up in the mix. And I've always been pretty down to earth. Like I've been shooting celebrities, and that's when, you know, that's when people start noticing that you're good at what they like, oh, okay. Right. And yeah. I'm like, y'all, I've been doing this, but okay. Like you see someone, you know, now it's validated. Cool. But I had to learn way early on, like, don't even get swept up
in that.
Like, like that's not why I do this. Like I do this because I enjoy storytelling. I enjoy sharing stories from people that look like me and voices that don't get to be heard. Mm-hmm. And I'm like good at it.
Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to tell our own stories on our own platforms, you know, to control our own narratives.
Yes.
That's like a very big part of why I started the podcast. And I super mm-hmm. believe in like, you know, we shouldn't have to like die before our stories are told, and then two, we shouldn't have to like go sell our story to the highest bidder either.
That part, and the beauty of like where I'm at is that I work with like execs all the time, and so it's kind of like you know, being at that level, like being near that level all the time, it's like, oh, like I can see myself being an exec. Mm-hmm. And like I actually think that that's in the cards, like, you know, like that's what's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. At this point. And so it's kind of like I never even thought about it, like, you know, like I said, that representation, like you just don't really see it. It's just like, oh, I just want to make art and all these other things, but there's so many levels to like getting your story out there, getting it greenlit, getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like, to see that, like to see that space, to be privy to it, it's like, oh, like I could be, you know, responsible for something like this, like for making sure that these stories are told. Like there's people who create stories, but then like they have to be put somewhere and there has to be someone that says yes. And it's like, that could be me. Yeah.
It should be produced at the same level. Just because it's black produced, it shouldn't be a fall off either. So that's where people like you come in.
Oh yeah.
Because you know, I feel like whenever you see something, but there was a time when you would hear black produced or whatever, the quality would feel like that. It would feel significantly like a drop off, because a lot of the times those productions aren't getting the type of resource and the type of funding. So they do what, you know how we right. do, you know, we're some, you know, niggas going to do what we're going to do. We're going to make it shake. It's going to be good, but we might just do it in like a way where like, you know, we nigger rigging it and making it ours until we get what we want. And, you know, so.
Yeah. And I mean, shout out to even that, like that's people who are persistent no matter what, like, you know, like the fact that anything can get like that, it got made is such a big deal. Yeah. Like to complete a project in and of itself is such a big deal. Right? I don't think anybody realizes.
It's not about the metrics or whatever. Like to take an idea and manifest it to something real, work it and become something real. That's the gift. That's the gift. The journey through that too is like every time you experience those experiences, that's a gift. So like. A lot of times.
Yeah. So really and truly, shout out to those people who did it, like beyond like, you know, the limitations of maybe having a small budget or not having certain things. Like they still went on. And, yes. Shout out to those people. Because you got to push through, like for real. And like, that's what creates, you know, the representation. You'd be like, oh, wow. Like, look at this all black cast. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to do something like this. And it's like, okay, it may not be giving Game of Thrones, but like I'm into it. Like I like this. And it's like, all right, you know, it just keeps going. And then you see people like Mara Brachakil, then you see people like Issa Rae, then you see people like Ava DuVernay, then you see people Shonda. Yeah. Yes. And it's just like, this is so like amazing to see Courtney Kemp. And you know, just like even in the Virgin Islands, there's Kyra J, there's Janisha John, there's all sorts of like people in our own like space who push through and like make content, like, or just tell stories, you know, do what they got to do in this business, irregardless of like obstacles, you know, and all of that should be like inspiring, at least inspiring for me. I'm like, all right, girl, you got to keep it going. Mm-hmm. You better get up and go do some, because this is what you want to do. But also, like I said, taking your time and doing it right, like doing it the right way that works best for you.
And supporting one another, you know, one person going through that door doesn't make your journey any less slower. You know, feel comfortable with like watching a Kara, watching a Kyra, watching a Janisha, watching all these people like walk through those doors, and just know that everything that they do opens the door a little more for somebody behind, you know. And because a lot of times we compete with our friends, you know. I don't think it's like a deliberate, I don't think it's like something people like are cognizant of, but I think it's like something that's like instilled in us, you know, throughout, just especially, you know, growing up. You know, sometimes your parents would make reference to a certain friend who's doing such and such and making you feel like, oh, I gotta compete with them in school, or I'm not doing as well, stuff like that. So, you know, it's a lot of like toxic things we were taught, so that we had to unlearn a lot of those stuff and know that, you know, together we're gonna win. Together we'll win more than like, than separate. So
it's all about community. And you know, like we said about the whole like being mad at yourself and like maybe projecting, I think like that's really what it is. It's like, oh, you see something, you want something, and so now you're projecting like,
oh, be, like
Kara something that you can't really like, describe
where Kara was because she took the step and it's like,
and it's not even like that, you know, and it don't even gotta be like that. We really only have each other, and like I said before, I've only like black women have uplifted me. And I make that my commitment to like uplift others. And when I do feel like negative emotions and stuff, that's when it's time to pull back and be like, ooh, Where'd that come from, Kay? Yeah. Why are you feeling like that? What's up with that? Like, be real with, like, I think we ignore that feeling and then it manifests and it projects in nasty ways. But when you're self-aware and you're able to, like, pinpoint the root of certain problems, then you can see, like, the bigger picture. Like, we should not be beefing. It's really no reason to do that, because working together is great, but maybe sometimes you need to work on yourself and, like, you have to actually do the work. You can't be mad because she's doing the work and you're not doing the work. Like, do the work, you know? And then once you do that and you're feeling confident in your own thing, then you can collaborate with others, right? And, like, you can feel more open to stuff like that. So it doesn't even have to be no nastiness. It could just be like, maybe I just need to take a step back and pour into me for a second.
Yeah.
Once I do that, I'll be more open to work with others. And then, you know, you need other people. Yeah. Like you just said earlier, like, you need your producer here to do different things. You can't do it all on your own. Like, like, there's so many, and that's something that I've been learning along the way, especially, because it's hard. It's like, oh my God, I have all these things that I want to do. And like, you think that only you can do this one thing. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you have to learn how to like chill and like delegate. And then that's where the contracts and stuff come into place. Cause it's like, yo, this is my role. This is your role. Everybody knows what they're doing here.
We don't have to waste time on explaining and like managing that. Yeah.
And like being confused, like, who's this? No, like, this is what this is. This is my role on it. This is your role on it. This is what you're here to do. And boom, like, now we work. And getting that like framework clear off rip is important. Knowing yourself enough to know when some projects require just you or if you need assistance is important. And just not really seeing any of it as a competition. I mean, like, there is Stars, HBO Max, there is Showtime, VH1, MTV, all these different cable networks. Imagine if we only had just one. Mm-hmm. Like, we would have been tight. Like, the fact that we have all of these options is a result of multiple people fulfilling, you know, similar dreams and journeys. And then there's space for everyone. Like, honestly, we barely scratched the surface in terms of, like, creating the type of content and things that we want to see, creating the art that we want to see. And it's like, art is forever. Like, make your art. It's okay, like, if someone else is doing it too, because they will never ever 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 be you. And like, that's just superpower. Something to like,
that's we're your all superpower. There's only one
and you really have to get clear on like yourself and like why you do something, right? Because sometimes, like I said, like, some people can get caught up in the glitz and the glamour and the like, oh, it's Hollywood, like, you know. And it's just like, if that's why you're doing it, then you're not going to be fulfilled by the work. And then you won't be doing the work, and then you're going to be mad when someone else is doing the work and all that,
because you didn't do the self-work.
It's the self-work. Like, it's so imperative for growth, period. Like, outside of art and entertainment, it's just like, you have to be working on yourself to like grow and evolve. Like, you can't just ignore the fucked up shit and expect like things to happen. Like, this is blocking your blessing.
I think, and here's the thing too, like, not to get too deep, but I guess we're here. At the end of the day, as Black people especially, right? Like, we have been programmed to say that our trauma is what makes us make the best work, right? Like, in the creative spaces. And so a lot of like musicians and artists is like, you know, they tap into that toxicity and that all that stuff to make the best art, because that's where you feel the most like natural pain, everything, like, you know, the movie feels gritty, it feels authentic, whatever that looks like. So I think a lot of times we get addicted to using that because we kind of figure out how to monetize that. And then we forget to do the self work to know that, oh, nah, this can like progressively get worse as well. Like, this is because I'm still a real individual. Yeah. I'm not just art. I'm an artist and I create art, but like, I'm a human being that has to still live with these demons, so to speak.
Yeah, no, that's so real. There is that narrative that art comes from pain and like pain breeds the best art and all this other stuff. And I mean, like, I guess that's kind of true, but at the end of the day, like you said, like, you are able to heal and make art. Like, you're going to constantly have some shit that like that challenges you, right? And like takes you down. Like, but you can't stay down. Like, you have to get up. Like, you can't just be in a bad place for the sake of your art. Right. I mean, I guess you can if you want to, like, really and truly do whatever you want. Me, I can't. Like, I'm like, when I'm like 2021, for example, I was feeling very like, I just like was not feeling like myself. Like, you know, like I was feeling a lot of different things, and I stayed home for 6 months. I was in St. Croix, like, I was working from home. And I was in St. Croix. I was like, I just need to be home. I need to go to my mama. Like, I just need to, like, be, I need to go back to square one. Because, like, something is wrong with me. Like, I could not figure it out. Like, and that level of awareness is great. Because I was like, at least I know. I don't need to know what it is. But, like, it's something. You know, I was kind of, like, soul searching and, like, going through it. And, you know, prior to that moment, right, like 2018, I had the best year of my life. I got these internships. I got, you know, I'm going to France. You know, I was on that wave for like 2018 through 2020. And then it came and shook me, you know, and I didn't really, like, something brought me down and I had to, like, build myself back up. Like, it didn't stay up forever. Like, it's going to come down. So whether you heal from something today, there is going to be something that challenges you tomorrow. So don't even worry. The pain is going to come, child. Like, you can put that new pain into your heart, but you do have to, like, heal, like, actually, you know, and channel that pain, you know, later. Like, it doesn't, I don't know. I feel like you got to be able to grow. And by restricting yourself to being, you know, like, having your pain dictate your life is, like, I don't know. It's not really not how I want to live.
Nah, I don't want to live that way either. And it's a slippery slope, and it can become dark. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you don't want.
Yeah, it can.
Yeah, you don't want to, like, go down that slippery slope. But yeah, it just kind of, like, manifests even worse things when you're not
doing. Yeah, and you have to do things. You have to be comfortable with doing things that you may not have ever done to, like, to heal. So whether that's therapy, whether you got to start taking morning walks, journaling, like, whatever it is, like, you got to try different stuff. Like, what used to work for me don't work no more. I used to paint when I was sad. Like, I would just start painting things and, like, be in my own space with, like, incense and my candle, and I'm just painting, and I'm like, oh my God, I feel better. And then, you know, you're older, or I'm older, and I'm like, I don't feel like painting. Like, I don't even want to do that. Like, I'm like, what do I do? Like, I'm feeling upset and I don't know what to do. And I had to, like, you know, figure it out. Like, what would make me feel better actually at this stage in my life? Like, what feels good? And that's why I said, like, I like living alone, because now I can just do weird shit like cartwheels in the middle of the day and nobody can say nothing. Right. And I'm like, well, that made me feel better.
Right. I don't have to, like, feel judged or like I have to explain myself.
Yeah. Exactly. It's that part. I'm like, I never really care about the feeling of judgment, but I'm like, I really just don't feel like explaining myself. Like,
that's real.
Why am I eating ice cream at 3 a.m.? Like, no questions, please. Yeah. I'm just doing it.
Me no hablo English.
Exactly. Literally that. It's like, I no longer know how to speak. Please don't ask me why I'm doing weird things. Like, this is what I needed to do today. Okay. Yeah. Like, that's what made me feel better.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, it could be little things like that. You know, like, sometimes you just have to sit with yourself and be like, you know what? I think I need to just, like, eat a whole can of whipped cream right now. Like, whatever. Yeah, I'm just going to eat some peanut butter on a spoon.
Yeah. I get it.
Sure. Yep. It's like, oh, that felt good. I like that. I feel a little better. Now we could take on Tuesday.
Right. thanks for all the gems, Kira. This was an amazing conversation of your journey and, like, just learning more about you and, like, how you navigate these spaces. Tell the people where they can find you at, where they can follow you, what to look out for, whatever you want to plug. You got it.
Yes. So you can follow me on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube at Kayra J, K-A-Y-R-A-J-A-Y. And you know, you can check out Adultin series. That's Adultin, no G, on YouTube. And check out, you know, season one. And up next, I've been working on a documentary called Cruise, which is kind of very fluid. I don't want to talk too much on it right now because it is like a work in progress, but it's one of those things that's like teaching me a lot as well in terms of projects not being done in the time frame that you may have wanted them to be. And taking your time with where you're at, because sometimes things take time. So
FYI exclusive. Thank you for the exclusive. We'll take it. We'll be looking out for it.
Yes, stay tuned for that one. Yeah. That one is, you know, whether it takes 10 months or 10 years, it's going to happen because I said I was going to do it.
Yeah, that's all.
I'm taking my time with it to make sure that I actually, you know, like I'm good. Like I said, if I'm going to leave y'all with anything, make sure your business affairs are in order. You know, protect yourself, protect your IP. And, you know, like collaborate with each other, network, be nice, be nice. It's okay to be nice. Communicate with people. Don't project negative shit, you know, heal truly. And let's make great shit.
Hey, teach the people. I love that quote. Awesome stuff. Thank you so much, Kara, for pulling up, man, and giving some inspiration, informing the people, inspiring the people. Good luck and, you know, blessings on everything that you got coming up. Keep trucking away at it. You know, you're already great, but, you know, we're looking forward to anything that Kara J puts out.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, man. Thanks for tuning into the Flying Intellectual Podcast. Until next time, peace.
Hey, intellectuals. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Flying Intellectual Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe, leave a review, and tell a friend to tell a friend. Also, join our email list at www.flyyoungintellectual.com, where you can also hire our brand development and management services and book a consultation. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Fly Young Intellectual, where we inform, inspire, and interact. We'll see you soon. Thanks.